Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. We are here to bring you all of the latest news. And there's a lot to talk about, as there is every day. A story I wanted to start with is actually what happened with Fox News this morning. Did you see this, Jared?
I did.
A Christmas tree, the Christmas tree at Fox in Fox Square, set on fire.
That'll show, Tucker.
I should actually rephrase this, Jared, because what I said was factually inaccurate. A Christmas tree became inflamed. How would I phrase this correctly? Because it wasn't, we don't want
to... A Christmas tree lit itself on fire for the cause of social justice.
Or as Stephen Miller said, some tree did something. If people aren't aware of this, it's actually...
The tree was peacefully protested.
It's actually a real, real bummer. I mean, this is a beautiful tree, and a lot of people go specifically to that area in New York City around Christmas time. I remember I went once with my mom and my sister, and my mom is one of those people, she loves to stand outside Fox and see if she's going to see like a big name walk by. And I know a lot of people go there to see the decorations. I know this is a very magical time in New York City. At least it used to be. But if you watch Fox and Friends this morning, I mean, Ainsley especially, Ainsley is very into the Christmas spirit. She's very religious, and she was just deflated after this news. A crazy man came in and he set the tree on fire. And so now we wait for all the blue check marks to explain to us how this is actually a way of saving democracy. How Christmas trees, I'm sure there's articles about how Christmas trees are racist. Can you do a quick Google search on that, Jared? I'm sure we're missing some underlying racism here. And then on top of that, there's a lot of other news. Jussie Smollett, this is a big day in the Jussie Smollett trial. We might be talking to Eddie Scarry from the New York Post and from the Federalist at 1:30. He wrote a piece in the Federalist today about Jussie Smollett. I don't know if people notice this. There's so many different elements of ridiculousness in this trial, but one that was particularly insane was Jussie Smollett. He was very irritable yesterday. And the hubris of this guy, like, not only should he be embarrassed, but he's layering on the cringe of this entire thing. He actually said to the prosecutor, he asked him if he would stop saying the N-word and would just call it the N-word or spell it out, because he didn't want this man offending all of the African Americans in the courtroom. The man was reading his text messages. The messages Jussie sent to his paid actors, the Nigerian brothers. And he has the stones to say, excuse me, that's offensive. We're reading your words, dude. The arrogance of this man.
Please stop using the offensive words that I use constantly in the text you're reading.
Yes.
How dare you quote me, sir?
And that wasn't it, Jared. He was mad about a lot of things. He has been wronged. He has been wronged. He is not giving up, though. You know, we joked a lot about him being a method actor, but I'm really starting to believe it. I think he's so far into this role that there's no saving him. It reminds me of when actors, like, they think they are the character they play. Remember Mark Wahlberg said, you know, if I had been there at 9/11, things would have gone differently. And everyone was like, Marky Mark, come on. Where's the funky bunch to rein you back? I mean, that's just, you're not an actual superhero just because you play one in movies. Well, for Jussie, it's like he doesn't know where He doesn't know where the line ends. He's so lost in the fiction, he can't come back. And hopefully this is his last movie, because the performance leaves a lot to be desired, according to the transcripts of this trial.
Jesse, better get ready to do a method acting movie about what it's like inside a jail cell, is my suggestion.
It'll
be great for your career.
You know, we did this as a poll question, Jared, whether or not he's going to see any jail
time.
He'll
serve a little bit of time, I think. I think so. I'm telling you, the Chicago PD has a mad on for this guy.
Someone's feeling the Christmas optimism, I would say. You're usually the pessimist out of the two of us. Now you're feeling a little bit of hope.
I think he'll get a little bit of jail time, yes.
Jared's heart grew 3 sizes that day. I hope so. That'd be a nice little Christmas gift for all of us. And then there was another weird story that I want to get to in this first hour that broke yesterday of a kid being... He was vaccinated by his school without his parents' permission. And according to reports, someone at the school allegedly asked the kid not to tell his parents because he or she did not want to get in trouble.
The Fauci ouchie.
And this child came home. And the funny thing is that I got home yesterday. I called my mom. I did a Newsmax hit. And so I immediately call my parents and say, how did that go? Was that okay? Did I make a fool of myself? And they say, no, it was great. Wonderful. And then my mom said, I can't believe that story you and Howie were talking about during Howie's show today. And I said, what story? And she said, about the kid who got the vaccine and the school did it without his permission and gave him a slice of pizza. And I said, we weren't talking about that. My mom goes, no, you were. I tuned into the show and you and Howie were talking about the Krispy Kreme donuts and, you know, what would Howie get the vaccine for Krispy Kreme? And I said, oh, we were just talking about that randomly. Like what the incentive would have to be for the booster. I said, I had no idea that an actual story had broken yesterday about a kid who came home and said, yeah, they vaccinated me, mom, but they gave me a slice of pizza. They gave me a slice of pizza. So we and I don't blame this child. I mean, it's the school's fault. You should have to check in with the parents. And the reason my mom called me is because she wanted to give me her Jean Curley mama bear input. And you know, Jared, I talk about this a lot. Jean does not back down when it comes to her kids. And her words of wisdom for those parents were, if that were me and someone did that to my kid, I would sue the bleep out of that school.
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. I sue those people individually who did it. Sue the school. Sue the superintendent. Sue the school district. Sue the city. Sue the state.
Throw in Jeff Zucker while you're at it.
Everybody. Name anybody in that lawsuit. I don't just want their jobs. I want their jobs. I want their house. I want their car. I want
all
of it.
You got to go to the lawyer who represented like Nicholas Sandman or someone who had a huge payout and say, let's make me some serious cash. Because that is just an easy case. And the funny thing is, let me get the piece in front of me. The school that this allegedly happened at was actually like the Barack Obama School of something something. It was named after Barack. So this isn't a good look for that school, I'll tell you that much right now. And then there's just a bunch of random funny stories that I want to give to everybody today. It's my Christmas gift to you, including the fact that I was on Twitter today. I'm scrolling through and Hillary Clinton does a lot of interviews. They all look the same, like she's sitting there in a muted pantsuit or a hot pink pantsuit or some sort of pantsuit. She's sitting in a chair and it's a one-on-one interview and she's talking about Russia and the election and they all kind of blend together because there's never anything interesting except for today. Today, one came across my feed and I thought, this cannot be. If this is new, it hasn't blown up yet. Like enough people haven't seen it. So I did a little research. It was on Good Morning America and it is new. And what it is Hillary Clinton decided that she, oh, it was today on CBS. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have given credit to Good Morning America. CBS, this is all you. You guys get to own this. Hillary Clinton decided that she was going to read her would-be victory speech. Jared, I need some Sebastian Maniscalco for this. I mean, the level of cringe that I have for this woman to sit down and think that anyone wants this.
Aren't you embarrassed?
I'm talking anyone. I'm talking people who have the I'm with her bumper stickers and the pink hats and the Hillary mugs and everything else. Did they want to see this? And she cried. She cried. I really.
Honestly, she's the worst. She is the worst person in the world. She's the worst in the world.
She really is. Every time I see her. And the first comment beneath it was, is anybody asking for this? Like, is there this contingency of people out there who are sitting around going, I really want to hear that would-be victory speech. This woman cannot move on. And it's amazing that she seems to be in her own bubble where she doesn't ever get the news that, like, nobody cares, nobody's watching, everyone's moved on from her, people have had enough. People don't want to read her books anymore or watch these interviews. So she just keeps going. And she's giving them new material now. This is like a whole fresh batch of crap for her to spew on. And she acts like she's doing you a really big favor. Ooh, this is a new release. No one has seen this yet. This is a would-be victory speech. Talk about depressing. Talk about depressing. Like, even if Trump did that, if he said, oh, I had a 2020 speech prepared, I'm going to read it to you. And then he started reading it and he started to cry. I would be like, ooh. Donnie, put your hands up. Make it harder for them to throw the net over you. But this woman just does it. And I guess everyone's just like, whatever, you know, just she's like that crazy relative you have who you're just like, yeah, just let him go. Whatever. Makes her happy, you know? Strange, strange stuff. So we've got the Christmas tree. We've got Hillary. And we also have Biden's meeting with Putin. I always say this, but I don't pretend to be like a geopolitical expert or anything. But I was watching a lot of shows yesterday. And it was interesting to hear people hash out how this could go, what Putin wants versus what America wants.
Baltimore Putin.
And what Ukraine wants, obviously. That kind of plays in here a little bit. They get lost in the mix. But I thought one of the best things I read about this, and I try to steer clear now of reading too many things word for word, but there was a really good piece in the New York Post by Michael Goodwin. And it was all about how when we appear... as a country, when we appear weak, which we did in Afghanistan, it can have really dire consequences for other issues across the world. Like, a lot of other leaders are watching how we respond to things, how we handle these kind of chaotic exits, and they're taking notes and they're adjusting accordingly. And what we have is a president who sits there and talks about compromise and talks about diplomacy and talks about building back better and reaching across the aisle and ha 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 and all these wonderful things. And these world leaders, they don't mess around. You know, they don't just talk to talk. They have big plans. And it's a frightening thing when you really lay it out. Michael Goodwin has a really good piece. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I want to take your calls. 844-500-4242. Also in the news, Biden mandates have been blocked by a federal judge. Jen Psaki is still like, oh, we're going to keep going with this. Don't worry. We got this.
Do you?
I don't think you do. I don't think, as Joe Biden would say, I don't think it passes constitutional muster. But that's never stopped them before. We're going to get to everything. I want to hear from you. 844-500-4242. We're talking all day about everything. Gavin Newsom's new children's book, Chris Cuomo's lawsuit. Anything you can think of, we're talking about it. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Feel no ways tired.
She's sad, though. Hillary read her would-be victory speech on television. And why someone would do that without being forced is beyond me. I haven't heard that many would-be victory speeches in my time. And after hearing this one, I don't think anyone should try it. It's just, we get it, Hillary. We know you lost. You know you lost. I'm sure Bill's heard about it. I'm sure he's heard plenty about your loss. It's okay.
I mean, Bill's not at Hooters every night. He doesn't hear anything.
Well, he wouldn't go to Hooters. I mean, they have like a lot of chicken and meat and things like that. He's vegan now. He's got to go to like a vegan Hooters. Actually, I don't know their menu. Maybe they do have vegan options.
They might.
But it's, you know, for someone who claims that she had all these emails about her grandkids and yoga and wedding planning, maybe get back to that stuff. You know, maybe go back to being Grandmama Hillary instead of bothering us all with what you would have said had you won an election that you lost. Ernest, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ernest.
Good morning. I want to make an analogy of United States as being a gigantic campfire keeping the wolves away at the camp. When the fire burns bright, the wolves stay away. When the fire gets smaller, and the wolves get emboldened to encroach on the camp. And that's my analogy of the greatness of America.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times we've been called a sleeping giant, and what Michael Goodwin called us in this piece that I'll read in the next segment if people are interested, he called us a sleeping woke giant. And it's true. I mean, I said the same thing yesterday. I said it's one thing to talk about the fumbles and bumbles that Joe Biden makes, or the ridiculously woke tweets that Kamala Harris sends out, or Jen Psaki circling back or singing happy birthday or giving someone a bachelorette sash at the press briefing, or Bill Nye doing TikToks at the White House. The list goes on and on and on and on about this absurdity that has become the Biden-Harris administration. But when you look at this on a world stage, and that was what Biden's big thing was. He was like, I'm going to bring America back. I walked into the G7 and everyone said, is it true? Is it true? Are you really back? And I said, yeah. It's like, if this is what back is,
where's everybody?
I'm very nervous for the future. Thanks for the call, Ernest. I like that analogy. It's a good one. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Kathy Ireland Gem Spa Jewelry Cleaning System. The Kathy Ireland Gem Spa will clean your jewelry better than a jewelry store. Save $20 and get free shipping by going to Bellmans.com/grace. That's Bellmans.com/grace. And here's a tip. If you're going to clean your wedding rings and then you forget to put them on for the show, get ready because people will think that a storm is a brewing. I had people reaching out to the mailroom manager saying, is everything okay with Grace? And I just said, guys, I just took my ring off to get them cleaned in the gem spa. That's all it was. And now they're dazzling. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Whose children's book would you want to read? Gavin Newsom, Kamala Harris, or Dr. Fauci?
Oh, I forgot Dr. Fauci has one.
Just a boy from Brooklyn.
Is that what it's about?
That's the name of it, A Boy from Brooklyn.
Oh, boy.
Just a boy from Brooklyn or something like that, the Dr. Fauci story.
Classic Fauci. He writes the book about himself. Yeah.
Is there a chapter on the HIV pandemic, sir?
I got to say, though, Jared, this Gavin Newsom book, and I know those villas that he's getting for $29,000 a night in Mexico, they don't pay themselves. You know, someone's got to bring home the bacon at the Newsom household. But still, for him to leave California, to fly to New York, to promote a book about a kid who likes baseball and has dyslexia, am I out of bounds to say that's a little bit tone deaf right now?
No, absolutely not. But how else are you going to launder money across the country, Grace?
Oh, you know, Jared, you know who I don't like to do these late editions because I know it's a pain for you. You know who we have to add? The Pew woman from Chicago. Remember, she got in trouble for making tons of money off her children's book. We'll add that during the break. We'll take more of your calls.
Right now, Gavin Newsom in the lead at 44%. 33 for Kamala and 22 for Dr. Fauci.
844-500-4242. A lot more show. I want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. So much to talk about, but I feel like we should play the Hillary Clinton. We've been talking about this enough. If you missed it, Hillary was gracing us with her presence again for the millionth time to tell us that she shouldn't have lost the election. It was stolen from her by Trump / the Russians / memes on Facebook. Every time it's the same and yet it's different. But this time she really did feel like, you know what? Every comedian needs a new act, needs some new material. So she thought, I'll whip out the old victory speech that I was going to read if I won the election.
You are so brave.
Can you talk about depressing? I mean,
how many Chardonnays in was this, by the way?
That's the craziest part, is that I'm sure the idea comes to her when she's, you know, relaxing at home with Bill, having a lovely night, I'm sure. But to actually go through with it, to sit there and have the camera on and the lights up, and this is what she comes out with. Cut four.
Didn't, as you know, write a concession speech, because even though we had a lot of bumps those last 10 days, I still thought, you know, we could pull it out. So I worked on a speech that really was about my journey and had a real emphasis on my mother's life and journey as a way of, you know, making it clear that, yes, I would be the first woman president, but I like everybody, stood on the shoulders and lived the lives and experiences of those who came before us.
The way that she talks about herself, it's almost like she did win. Like, she's talking about something that she did that was so incredible. And let's hear it. Let's get through as much of this as we possibly can. My apologies to everyone listening. This is Hillary Rodham Clinton reading her what would have been speech. Cut five.
I dream of going up to her and sitting down next to her, taking her in my arms and saying, look at me, listen to me. You will survive. You will have a good family of your own and three children. And as hard as it might be to imagine, your daughter will grow up and become the president of the United States.
And
let me taste your tears. Your tears are so yummy and sweet.
Jared!
Oh, tears of unfathomable sadness. Yummy, you guys.
Jared, that was not approved.
I am sorry. This video made my day.
Did she ever mention not going to Wisconsin in the speech? I can't believe this is how I would think her speech would go. Wow, I cannot believe that I'm president of the United States after insulting half the country by calling them a basket of deplorables, after being what a lot of people consider the most unlikable candidate in American history, and after never going to Wisconsin once during my campaign. And after cringeworthy video came out of me trying to order a burrito at Chipotle. And yet, alas, here I am. We did it. And then she would go into like some sort of southern dialect and, you know, probably drop her, I'm in no ways, Todd. But it doesn't appear that she mentioned that. Instead, it just sounds like she's crying.
I don't feel no ways tired.
Wow, that was really amazing. Thank you, Hillary, for that. I'm sure there's like 10 women out there who are just thrilled to see this. They'll be posting it on their Facebook pages. And for them, I'm very happy. Put on your pink hats and rewatch that speech over and over again. 844-500-4242. So Joe Biden did meet with Vladimir Putin yesterday via virtual Zoom. And we got some reports that, you know, Jake Sullivan told us that he was not messing around. You know, he looked at Putin and, well, at one point we were told that Biden looked at Putin and said something about, you know, he looked into the eyes of him and saw nothing, or, you know, he makes these big statements that you think to yourself, that never happened. I don't believe that ever happened. But Michael Goodwin has a piece and it explains how what happened in Afghanistan was not only such a big deal because of all of the lives that were lost and just the chaos that ensued, but also because what it did for other countries watching the United States. Remember when Trump was president and it was always like, the world is watching us. This is humiliating.
Conversation started off. I said, I know you and you know me. If I establish this occurred, then be prepared.
You said, you know, he doesn't have a soul.
I did say that to him, yes. And his response was, we understand one another.
I said, I know you don't have a soul, but you got good blood, kid. You got good blood. God bless you, as my dad used to say when he was staring at the ceiling. As the poet James Joyce Joe used to say, the blessings of Irish eyes, there's no way that you can... Really moving stuff from Joe Biden. But no one believes any of that. Even Putin, when Putin looks at Joe Biden, he has the biggest smirk on his face. But when Trump was president, we were told over and over again, this is so dangerous. He's a madman. Who knows what's going to happen next? He's out of control. This is humiliating. We're being humiliated on the world stage. Serious question. Does anyone feel confident in Joe Biden's ability to navigate this? No? I wonder
why. Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
I don't want to be too harsh here, but when you watch a man who has trouble finding his way into the White House, like he goes more towards the bushes than towards the door, it stands to reason that you might be skeptical that geopolitically he's going to be incredible. And as part of this Michael Goodwin piece, they do mention the fact that Robert Gates, his famous quote that I've used in so many columns, that Joe Biden's been wrong on every single foreign policy issue for the past four decades. And I got news for you, Robert Gates. He's not slowing down anytime soon.
He's not one to rest on his laurels.
He's
Let's just
not.
Put it that way.
Don't underestimate Joe's ability to bleep things up. My favorite Barack Obama quote, I want it on the back of a sweater.
He's waited, what, 50 years to be able to mess up on this type of a stage, and nothing's going to stop him.
We should read this. I mean, it's a really good piece. I'm trying lately not to read as much because I like to, you know, talk to the listeners and go back and forth. But Michael Goodwin did a great job of breaking this down and how embarrassing it is to watch him on the world stage. Let's go to Nick, though. Nick, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi. Hi, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
You know, it's a disgrace what we've seen. I mean, if you've seen the clip of the Zoom meeting where Biden's waving like he's goofy and Putin's looking at him like, hey, man, you know, I'm all about business. And, you know, it just goes to show you how weak we've gotten. Biden threatening economic sanctions. I mean, we have the most powerful military in the world. Why are we threatening economic sanctions? We should be threatening military power. And, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame. You know, they said that the call probably lasted only 25 minutes because that's pretty much how much stamina Biden probably had. It's a disgrace. And, you know, we noticed under President Trump we didn't have these issues. The Russians weren't going for Ukraine under President Trump, and the Chinese weren't going for Taiwan under President Trump. But, you know, I think what we're going to see now after that call is a potential big hack from the Russians. And, you know, it's game time now. I think Putin is about his business. He's serious. NATO has pretty much the defensive capabilities of the New York Jets on a Sunday football game. So it's going to be an interesting sight to see.
Yeah, no, Nick, you just put it really well. This is the New York Post piece. Weak Joe Biden, no match for Vladimir Putin and other foes. I want to read a couple of lines from this. When it comes to making a deal with Russia, Joe Biden has a problem. He wants to talk. Vladimir Putin wants President Ukraine Putin. And has massed 175,000 troops on the border to prove it. Biden has a similar problem with China and Iran, which Nick just alluded to there. The president wants to talk about a range of issues and differences. They want to expand their territorial control and crush their enemies. Do you notice a theme here? He likes to talk. He likes to tell stories. I don't think Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping, I don't think they want to talk about his time on the Amtrak or what his dad used to say when he'd see two men kissing when they were, you know, when Joe Biden was a kid. I don't think they have time for that. And not to say those aren't wonderful stories that we've all heard over and over again. But I don't think the whole I'm Jill Biden's husband thing is as charming overseas as the press thinks it is here.
I told President Putin about the time I wore an onion on my belt, which, of course, was a style at the time.
And Putin said, wrap it up, old man. I have actual things to do. Our adversaries have clear goals and iron fists. We have a fumbling, mumbling president who leads an alliance of largely disarmed welfare states formerly known as NATO. Our military is a woke but sleeping giant. As presidents go, Biden is an especially weak one. Nobody fears him. His poll numbers are underwater on virtually every issue. Our foreign policy, his approval is a meager 36%. One reason could be that, whatever the flashpoint, the Biden White House reflexively and repeatedly stresses its commitment to diplomacy. Sometimes it promises robust diplomacy, which is supposed to convey a stronger brew, but you have to be steeped in foggy bottom word games to know for sure. Actually, speaking of that, I have some sound to go with this. This is someone you haven't heard from in a long time, but I'm sure you're going to feel as comforted hearing from him now as you did during the Afghanistan withdrawal. This is Lloyd Austin talking about how Russia should be concerned about their reputation. Cut 9.
Take, for example, Russia. If Russia invades Ukraine, I think Russia should be concerned about its reputation, because the international community will react very strongly to yet another incursion into Ukraine. So I think the aggressor here is the one that we ought to be focused on in terms of reputation. So.
Reputation.
I'm sure they're as concerned about that as the Taliban was concerned about their place in the international community.
On the world stage. Yes, I was thinking the same thing, Jared. Great minds think alike. Either way, diplomacy is an admirable process, but not an outcome. For Russia, China, and Iran, the outcome is the whole point. Instinctively, Americans get that. They don't want war, but neither do they want to see their country pushed around on the world stage. Which brings us to Biden's weakest link, Afghanistan. His craven, chaotic withdrawal last summer revealed a willingness to abandon friends and allies, not to mention U.S. citizens. The ghost of that disaster hangs over every foreign policy challenge, and Putin, China, President Xi Jinping, and Iran's mullahs certainly factored into their thinking. Afghanistan may turn out to be a tragic foretaste of what awaits Ukraine, Taiwan, and Iraq. Indeed, the Iranians are probably wondering how far Biden would go to protect Israel. For Israelis, Iranian nukes are existential threats, and they would be nuts to wait for Biden to save them. Now, I love this line. If there is such a thing as wanting peace too much, Biden is guilty. As even the ancient Romans knew, if you want peace, prepare for war. The president talks frequently about the power of our example, rather than our power itself. It's a feel-good soundbite for domestic audiences, but it's an invitation to the global malevolent. Every president is tested by foreign actors, and up till now, Biden was able to finesse those tests. Now they are growing and converging in threatening ways. They do seem to be reaching kind of a boiling point here, where all of his talk is being tested, finally. Russia and China have done joint military exercises and are helping Iran avoid economic sanctions. Russia and China also developed hypersonic missiles that apparently surprised U.S. intelligence and proved we are lagging behind. I read a story recently from the Post-Millennial that the confidence in our military has decreased by, like, I think 11% in the United States. Putin's massing of troops along Ukraine's eastern border now certainly makes the point in case Biden has forgotten. Whether Putin will actually invade is unknowable, and it's impossible, and it's possible he's just using the troops as a pressure point for concessions, or maybe not. The one guarantee is that Putin has no intention of allowing the former Soviet state to join NATO or become a Western outpost. Hence the military support for the separatist movement in eastern Ukraine and the menacing buildup. Even Biden's warning of economic sanctions if Russia invades come with caveats. For sanctions to work, he would need the support of Germany and other European powers. But Biden undercut that possibility in May by foolishly waiving sanctions on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline project. You know, Dana Perino was making this exact point yesterday on The Five, and she said this isn't like a giving a kid a toy where you can just take it away. This pipeline is going to take natural gas from the Russian Arctic under the Baltic Sea to Germany, bypassing Ukraine. And so all of these allies, as Michael Goodwin puts it, they're not going to be the most reliable sources in this geopolitical issue. In total, Europe gets about 35% of its gas from Russia, which makes Germany and others in NATO unreliable partners, even for imposing sanctions. I'm going to finish this off, but I just think that it's kind of a complicated situation. But what I get the most out of from this piece is that all of these world powers are looking at Joe Biden, and Afghanistan, as much as the news media wants you to forget about it, really did set the stage for chaos, because it showed how he talks the talk, but he does not walk the walk. It's just, you know, it's just him getting up there and saying, oh, that's really bad. They should be ashamed of themselves. You know, we're really mad at them. I don't know what he's thinking. He thinks he's keeping like Xi Jinping up at night, or Putin's like, you know, in his bed turning over. Oh, Joe's mad at me. America doesn't like our reputation right now. I can't sleep. No, I think they'll be okay. Celebrate the season at Aviva Trattoria. Aviva serves beloved Italian classics with culinary flair, and it's the perfect place for a holiday get-together with family and friends. Whether you want a real, you know, classic Italian house-made bolognese, marsala, piccata, I love the eggplant parm, it's fried and crispy, or if you want something more casual, you can always get a pizza there. They have amazing pizza options. And they also have just a lot of fun dishes that you wouldn't try. Their short rib is unbelievable.
Yeah, the short rib is fantastic. And I especially like the short rib risotto. They also have a seafood risotto. So if you're a risotto person, obviously, that's the way to go. But the short rib is fantastic. The eggplant is great. The eggplant Milanese is another great one. They actually have a pork sandwich, a porchetta sandwich out of this world.
Everything.
They got burgers, salads, anything you can think of, they have.
And they have a lot of gluten-free options if you are gluten-free, which you don't get a lot from an Italian restaurant. Everything's delicious, a lot of local ingredients. This season, give the gift of Aviva to you, to your family and friends. Visit AvivaTrattoria.com for special holiday gift card offers, or visit Aviva's locations in Malden, Maynard, Marlborough, Westford, and Wrentham. We will be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242, and we'll finish off this piece from the New York Post. We got a lot of sound and a lot of stories to get to. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Meeting with Putin, I was very straightforward. There were no minced words. It was polite, but I made it very clear. If, in fact, he invades Ukraine, there will be severe consequences. Severe consequences. Economic consequences like none he's ever seen or ever had been
seen. Oh, gosh. All right, cut him off. Yeah, if you say severe one more time, it's like Beetlejuice. He'll actually get nervous.
I mean,
severe.
I believe he didn't mince words. I believe he chopped words, sliced words, gutted words,
yeah.
Mispronounced words, scaled them.
He has no idea what he's even saying.
As you can
at this
see,
point.
I didn't get my English lessons.
Given the growing dangers, Michael Goodwin writes, Robert Gates' stinging rebuke can't be ignored. Biden, the former defense secretary, wrote, has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past four decades. Fortunately, Biden wasn't president during those earlier blunders. Yikes, I totally agree. Very quickly, Adam, go ahead. You there, Adam?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I just didn't hear you. First of all, I'd like to just quickly mention Hillary Clinton. It's so sad. You know, her time is over. She just get off the stage. But she's a bitter, angry woman. And I think she's been that way all her life, sort of playing second fiddle to Bill.
Yes.
But I also may want to make a prediction here. I think Russia... and China. Russia's going to invade the Ukraine in Q1 after the holidays, and China will invade Taiwan, and we're going to do nothing. And I also think the Democratic Party is going to go more and more to the left.
Yeah, and it's sad because, you know, you don't want to see this stuff happen, but if all you're doing is throwing out platitudes and fumbling around and going to these global warming climate summits, what do you think these guys are going to do? They're not as patient as Uncle Joe. We'll be right back with more.